All right, so this morning we're starting a series that I've called Back to Basics. Back to Basics. Now, what is Back to Basics all about? And what are we going to be looking at? Now, one thing that God put in my heart very strongly for us as a church, and it's so interesting that I was speaking to a number of pastors on, I think it was a couple of days ago, there was a big pastors meeting of pastors in Bristol. And we were in different groups, and I was speaking to one pastor, and he was telling me that, you know, God put it in his heart that he should begin to teach the church that he pastors about spiritual disciplines of praying, fasting, and stuff. And I said, interesting. That's the same thing that, you know, God has put in my heart for our church here. And so many other pastors there were saying very similar things. I was like, wow, this is really interesting. So I believe that God is actually calling the church back, not just this church, to like the real basics of the faith. Let's leave aside all the complicated stuff. Let's leave aside all the things that, you know, are just draining our energies and relax. Why? Because God wants us to come back to the basics. And today we're going to be looking at the first part that I've called knowing and loving God. Our graphics person did that, put all the pictures together. So we're going to be looking at a number of things. We'll look at loving and knowing God. We'll look at the Holy Spirit. We'll look at, you know, prayer, worship, evangelism, fasting, and the Word of God. And I believe these are things that are really foundational to us as believers. And if we can begin to see these things in the right perspective with no complications at all, I believe that God can really work out something in our lives. Amen. So we're looking at knowing and loving God, the first part today. And really, this is a what I'll call, if I can use this, a clarion call. Yeah, that's one of the new words I got from our American friends. The clarion call. And this is really calling us back to say, what is your life truly about? Do you want to look at where you are in life at the moment? You want to look at your aspirations? You want to look at your whole life in the context of eternity, in the context of God, not in the context of what society thinks, not in the context of what your mates think, not in the context of what your wife or your husband or your brothers or sisters think. Those points are important. We should listen, but we want to look at what your life is in the context of God himself who created you. We'll look at three things this morning in terms of knowing and loving God, very simply. But this morning, something came to my mind again, and this has stuck with me for several years now. And my dad, he doesn't live in England. He came to visit England a long time ago. This must have been about 7 or 8 years ago, or even more. And he was in West London. So we said, okay, Dad, we're going to take you out to lunch today. And his grandchildren were there. They were slightly younger then. And we went into this restaurant in West London. And it was, I think, five of us. My wife, my dad was sat opposite. He was sitting against the wall. And we're all around. And I was looking at the pictures on the wall. And on the pictures of the wall, I saw it had a number of really prominent personalities in there. I don't know, it was one of these pictures that had, you know, Martin Luther King, all these really important people, people who had, in quote, done a lot of, you know, had made a mark in this world, people who had, who were known for very important things. Then my mind now went and I was scanning that picture. And what I thought to myself was that as great as these men were, as important as the things that these men, as important as the things they achieved were at that point, 100 years from now, some people will still remember them. 200 years from now, if Christ hasn't come back by then, some other people will remember them. But let's go down 1,000 years from now. Or let's go down 5,000 years from now, who is going to remember them? I can tell you, not a lot of people. Why? Does anyone here know Pharaoh Ramses? I don't think a lot of people know. Does anyone know Nefertiti? Does anyone know Tutankhamun? Well, these guys that I've just mentioned were pharaohs who lived thousands and thousands of years ago. And for someone like Ramses and all these folks, those guys ruled the entire world. Their power stretched from Egypt down to Eastern Europe, everywhere down to Africa. And they built huge monuments to themselves. I don't know if you guys have been to Egypt before. I haven't. It was a long time dream of mine, but the consensus never allowed us to go there. What I got was, why do we want to go and look at all these sandy things when we can go to other more? But I'm going to leave that aside. But I never got my way there. So I haven't been, but I absolutely love history. These guys, in their time, they were known all over the world. They built great monuments to themselves so that they would be remembered eternally. You know, huge, huge monuments with their faces on it. And their plan was that we will be remembered forever and ever. They conquered territory. They did a lot of things. They built so many magnificent things. But ask the regular guy down the road. Who's Nefertiti? Who's Ramses? Like, who's that? Is that a drink? Or they might say worse, is that the new Nike trainer that just came out? Nobody remembers. So what am I saying here? I'm saying here that those guys view their lives in the context of what they were doing. The same way we view our lives now, and it's like, it seems as if it's just us at the moment, and it's you're going to be like this forever and ever. But no, you're not going to be like this forever. Those guys are forgotten. As time progresses, we'll forget all these things. We'll forget Brexit. We'll forget Trump. We'll forget Boris. We'll forget all these things. You forget. Nobody will remember them. They will just be history. Brexit? Did that happen? How? That happened 1,000 years ago. I wonder how those chaps lived through it. Nobody will remember. Why? Very short term. So why am I saying all this in the context of what we're looking at today? We're looking at knowing and loving God. Knowing and loving God. And the first thing I want to ask us this morning is what the Bible has been asking for a long time. Again, it's a clarion call to bring us back to perspective. And the question is this. It says, what will it profit a man or a person if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? Now, someone might view this in the context of a person that is not a Christian and they're not a Christian and they're not born again and eventually they go to hell or they don't make it. No, I'm not looking at it in that context. I'm looking at it in the context of the believer to say, all the things that are so important to you, at the end of the day, how important are they? Really, how important are they? And the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 8, verse 36. Mark chapter 8, verse 36. There it says, what will it profit a man? That's the question. And this is the scripture. If he gains the whole world, Mark chapter 8, verse 36. If he gains the whole world, yet he loses his soul. That's the question that Christ was asking. And that's the question that he's asking us today. What is it going to profit us if we chase everything in this world? And at the end of the day, we have, at the end of the day, our relationship with God is just on the back burner. We have no time for God. We do not have as much time as we're just focused on everything else so strongly, you know, apart from him. And Jesus said something as well. If you look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 22. Matthew chapter 13, verse 22. Still looking at what will he profit a man if he gains the whole world. Matthew chapter 13, verse 22. Jesus describes a scenario there. He describes it in the parable of the sower. And he says, look, the seed falling among thorns refers to someone who hears the word. But the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth chokes the word, making it unfruitful. So this is saying that we have legitimate things that we follow after. You go to work, you go to school. These are things that are good in themselves. But the Bible is telling us here that those things can get to the point where it overwhelms us. It consumes us. And even though we're doing these things that are legitimate, we should go to work, we should go to school, we should do all these things we need to do. However, there's the danger that these things just overtake the whole of our lives. And the Bible says that it begins to choke the word of God. Everything about God becomes minimized. Everything about God becomes a back burner thing. And the word of God becomes like a far memory. It becomes like a thought that you have. It's like, what's that scripture? And it's like a far, far, far memory. What did Pastor Benson say about? And it's like a film you watched about 10 years ago, distant. Do you understand? Christ says it, that the word we can be so consumed with everyday life that it just chokes everything that God has put in us. Another thing as well, Daniel chapter 12 verse 4. Daniel said something about the days that we currently live in. Daniel chapter 12 verse 4. He says, paraphrasing, that, "But you, Daniel, roll up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge." So Daniel was saying that the day that we're living now is going to be characterized by people going to and fro, seeking to gain knowledge. I mean, if you just look at the age that we live in now, there's no information that you want. You just go to Google and type engineering or dancing or singing. You have millions of results coming back to you. Millions of results coming back to you. And there's knowledge is so available here. Everybody wants knowledge. You want to know what's going on with your favorite celebrity, if you like that kind of thing. You want to know what's going on with the stock market. You want to know this, you want to know that, to the point that knowledge crowds out our minds. Amen. I was just thinking to myself some time ago that in the morning, when I wake up, I know you guys don't do this, the first thing I reach out to, apart from switching off the alarm on my phone, is my hand stretches out. I haven't had breakfast. I haven't even said anything to anybody. And what do I want to check? My phone. I want to check if anybody has sent me an email. Do you understand what I mean? I'm sure you guys don't do that. A long time ago, I had like Facebook, all those things on my phone, alerts. I used to post a lot to Facebook. And every time in the morning, I would reach out. I know you guys don't do Facebook now. It's now, what's that thing now? Instagram. And I will reach out early in the morning and be like, oh, how many people have, you know? And it got to the point that I said, you know what? I'm going to remove Facebook from my phone, remove Twitter from my phone. We still have it. And actually, I'm going to stop posting. I'm just going to let my life just relax a bit. So he says our day will be characterized by knowledge overload. And knowledge is good because now you can basically find out about anything you want with a click of a button. But there's something else that knowledge can do to you, the seeking of knowledge. The seeking of knowledge, if it is not the right knowledge, can exclude God from the picture. True. It can exclude God from the picture. And even nowadays that I don't even have Facebook on my phone, I still have my email and all that. And there are times that I'm in front of my computer and I'm just typing up maybe the Bible study booklet or something for the church. And I just say, oh, a friend of mine comes to my mind. I'm like, wow, I haven't seen this friend of mine in a long time. I wonder how he's doing. Even though I don't have Facebook on my phone, I have Facebook on my desktop. And I'm like, wow. It would be great to find out what's happening with this guy. And I just say, okay, I'll just check Facebook. And I check Facebook, click, and I can see his pictures. I can say, okay, this guy's been posting his hair. Then suddenly I look to the left and he has other friends. I'm like, wow, I haven't seen that other guy in a while. Click. As I click that, I'm like, my goodness, this guy from my secondary school. Wow, I didn't know what's happening to him. And I click, click. And I just wanted to spend 30 seconds to find out about my friend because I'm typing something really serious. And by the click of a button, 10 p.m. and I look up and I've been clicking for 1 hour. Information overload. And I'm like, hang on, how did this happen? But I'm sure you guys don't do that at all. You don't do any of that. You're just so, anything you want to get done, you do. Daniel said that knowledge in our day has and will have that effect if we're not careful. Then Matthew chapter 24 and verses 37 to 39. We're looking at what will it profit a person if they gain the whole world? What kind of world are we living in? What is your life in the context of eternity, in the context of God? Now, Matthew chapter 24, verse 37 to 39. Jesus begins to also describe the day that we're living in. And he says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not when the flood came and took them away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So Jesus was saying that the days that we're living now, people will be so consumed with everyday affairs, normal things, not things that are bad, but just normal things. He says people will be getting married, people will be going about eating, drinking, going about life normally. And what he highlighted there was that at the end of the day, It will seem as if people are just so consumed with the everyday things. And Jesus will just come all of a sudden. And that will be the end of it. So the question I'm posing to us this morning is, what will it profit a man? What is the context of your life? Is God really important in your life? Do you have time for God? Do you understand? The way God wants you to have time for him. What is life really? Is our life what we achieve in this world only? Is our life all the things that we get? Is our life just about succeeding at our jobs, succeeding in school? Is that all that there is to this life? I don't think so. Now, the next thing we want to look at is, what is life? Now, I'm going to put a PS there. And the PS I want to put here is, all these things that we're talking about, they're good things. We should go about our daily business. We should visit our friends. If you have the time, you can scout through Facebook or Instagram or whatever it is you like. I'm not saying we shouldn't do those things. But what I'm just saying is that those things have the ability and the capacity to crowd out God in our lives to the point that God becomes like a story that you listen to on Sundays when Pastor Benson is speaking. No real encounter at all. Do you understand? So what is life? Jesus said something very important, and this has stuck with me for years. I thought Jesus would say, life is when you've done this. Life is when you've spoken to a number of people about Christ, which is good. Life is when you are nice to people. That's good. Life is this, life is that. What did Jesus say true life is? Let's look at John chapter 17, verse 3. John chapter 17, verse 3. Jesus made a statement here that at face value, it might be like, hang on, is that, what does this really mean? Is there more to this? John chapter 17, verse 3. He says, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So Jesus said something here. He said, life is knowing God and Jesus Christ, whom he sent. So what Jesus is telling us here that is that The most important thing for us on the earth is knowing God. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means knowing God. So if you went, say, for example, you went out to the hotel just right outside in the lobby there, and you stopped one of the people there and you said, do you know Pastor Benson? They might say, hang on, who is Pastor Benson? Is it that guy that preaches in there? That's the extent of the knowledge that they have of me, right? Someone might stop, maybe Brother Flo or Mr. Producer or someone, and they say, do you know Pastor Benson? And they'll be like, yeah, Pastor Benson, he's a great guy, very nice pastor. And they'll say a lot of nice things about me, obviously, you know. Now, that's the extent to which they know me. Now, somebody asks my daughter about me. So she knows me as Pastor Benson. She knows me as her dad as well. And she will say loads of really nice things. She'll be like, oh, when I come to dad, gives me everything I want. Yeah. You know what I mean? So what am I saying here? Knowledge is in different forms. So you might know God in a particular way, and your knowledge of God might be like Brother Flo to me. It might be like my daughter to me. For some people, the knowledge we have of God might be like the chap who we stopped out there to ask. Different varying degrees of knowledge. And God says that this is life. Life, in God's perspective, is getting to know God. Do you understand what I mean? It is getting to know God as a person. Now, we can't see God physically, but he exists and he speaks to us. We can know him through his word. He speaks to our heart as well. And Paul the apostle, the person that God used so much, you know, to spread the gospel. He wrote like a third of the New Testament. What did he say? This was someone who had seen everything, so to speak. But he made one statement in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. And he said, he summed up what it means to what life is. And there he said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That's the first part. So this was a man that had done so many great things for God. He had done so many wonderful things in the Christian faith, for the Christian faith. And as much as he knew God, as much as he had done so many things, he said this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. So this is just pointing us in the direction that, look, the most important thing that God wants us to do in the context of this life, as we go about our daily business, as we do what it is we do, is to know him, is to make the effort to know him. And that really depends on you. The extent to which you know a person is really dependent on you. It depends on how much time you spend with them. It depends on actually if you're really interested in knowing them in the first place. Do you understand what I mean? So we see that in the context of knowing God, that it's not just what we pursue in life. It's not just all the things that we do every day that we are planning to do or that we want to do. Those things are important, but God says we should prioritize knowing him. So this is what I'm calling a clarion call, that God is saying, look, let's return to him. I'm going to stop here with one thing here. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. Matthew chapter 22 verse 37. God begins to say something there. That's the third thing. And that's that God wants us to return to him. And it says in Matthew chapter 22, 37, paraphrasing, it says, God wants us to love him with all our hearts, all our minds, and all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. Do you understand? So God is saying, let's go back to the basics. And the first thing he's saying is that let us focus on knowing him. Let us focus on loving God. So he's asking us the question. He's saying, what will it profit a person if they gain the whole world? And the second question is, what is true life? And we've seen that true life, the Bible tells us, is knowing God. And the last thing he's saying is, we should love him with all our mind and with all our soul. If we look at Zechariah chapter 1, verse 3. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 3. God says there, return to me. He says we should return to him. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 3. That we should return to him. So this morning, I'm just going to ask that we should rise up and we're just going to pray.